many bills that are still coming our way. A lot of them that will be impacting counties directly. And as I requested before, I'll continue to we'll continue to update those the legislative agenda and put it on our website. That way, our constituents have access to what is happening at the CCA level and the interaction that we have from your local county to the state. Also had a great opportunity to accept an invitation for the NACO, the National Association of Counties. The legislative conference begins this week, so I'll be attending that in the days to come. And last but not least, one of the important conversations we had with CDPHE last Friday was on the Dial 3.0. As my fellow county commissioners can attest to, we had Ms. Jill Ryan, executive director from CDPHE at the table and basically explained that the governor is getting ready to announce Dial 3.0. And on that note, briefly, Friday, I'll be traveling to Denver. We'll be meeting with the governor and basically to provide through the CCI executive board of directors feedback on what is it that counties are requesting when it comes to the Dial 3.0. Our belief is that before Friday, he will have made the announcement on the new updates and movement on the dial. So thank you, sir. That is my report.
Thank you, Commissioner Lopez. Commissioner Haas, good morning.
Yes, I was on that discussion, that 3.0 path to reopening, and please have the governor consider, I understand that there might be a snapback provision, and I'm concerned about that in case we were to have another round of infections, that he's going to have that ability to snap back that provision and put us back into the red or wherever. Please have him reconsider that when you're talking to him. On the 12th, the Agriculture, Wildlife, and Rural Affairs Committee met with our, and we took a position of support on Senator Simpson's soil health bill, House Bill 1181. We had an update on House Bill 1045, the Ag Invasive Pest Bill, and we took a position of support with amendments. The pause ballot initiative was a topic of discussion for quite some time. This protects animals from unnecessary suffering and exploitation. Although a well-meaning bill, the individuals introducing this bill don't understand animal husbandry. This initiative aims to make amendments to the Colorado Revised Statute 18-9201. And it proposes that the lifespan of animals harvested for meat would not be allowed to be harvested until the animal was a quarter of their life. For cattle, that would be 5 years old. It also states that neutering of dogs, cats, cattle, horses, sheep, goats, everything, castration of horses, of bovine, preg checking, and artificial insemination wouldn't be allowed. You can't manage a herd that way. This would not only be economically, it wouldn't be economically feasible. The added expenses of the feed care would be added to the cost at the store. It'd have to be for the ranchers to move forward with this. On the 15th, I was invited to attend a meeting with Terry Frankhauser, Chad Borthman, Chris Wiseman, Alan Salazar from the mayor's office, and Paul Andrews, executive director for the Stock Show. And it was a promoting agriculture call, because the concern with neighboring states being more amenable to ag, and Colorado is currently worried that this will be very disruptive for the Stock Show. The Angus Association took their big show and the Hereford Show also to Oklahoma City. And they were, of course, they were received with open arms. There's been no events to drive the revenue for a year at the Stock Show. And they went through $24 million of revenue with the rejuvenation of the Stock Show fairgrounds. The governor has now stated that $3.5 million would be available funding for the and would help with the stock show. And Denver is trying to now entice the Hereford and Angus breed shows to come back to Denver. Ben, I wanted to bring up this and consider a resolution, gentlemen. There is a environmental agenda that's coming out. It's called the 30-30 land grab. It's 30 by 30 program. It's a plan advanced and by environmental activists to permanently protect 30% of America's lands and oceans by 2030. The program was adopted by the Biden administration through Executive Order 14008, tackling the climate crisis at home and abroad. Proponents argue that climate impacts are human-caused, and permanently preserving 30% of America's land and oceans is necessary to reverse climate change. In this action, there must be action taken immediately to avoid impacts on the ecosystem and wildlife. The 30-30 program is an unconstitutional policy shift, moving us from a nation founded on private property principles to one controlled by the administrative state. There's already over 274 million acres in America under permanent protection. As county officials, we need to protect private property rights and also our right as a government entity to veto any deals the administration wants to make in the taking of the land in our country and our county. So this bill that was signed, the executive order, would take the 1041 powers away from the county commissioners, and we wouldn't be allowed to have any comments if they were to come in and take private property. The Biden administration already repealed Secretary Barnhart's order from the last year that gave governors, the county officials, veto powers over such deals. This is unconstitutional. Los Angeles County needs to stand up to this ridiculous notion that the government knows better than private citizens on how to care for their land. We also need to send a message that Los Angeles County will have a seat at the table if this type of land taking ever is attempted in Los Angeles County. And I have sent a proposed resolution to Mr. Dornkamp for review to send out to the other commissioners for their consideration. I know that the study that the President Biden asked for on this plan is due the end of April. And I want our legislators here in Colorado and Washington, D.C. to know that we oppose this plan. I had a conversation with John Swartout, and he told me that there's only one other county that has taken a position so far on this, and that is Garfield County, although he was on a NACO call and another call with officials to talk about this land grab. And he said that he's going to see that and try to push that CCI will take a position as an association in opposition to this. So I hope the commissioners will review this and come back with a resolution that would oppose this. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Commissioner. As well, I was on the call with Commissioner Lopez and Commissioner Haas with the CDPHE. And in that call, I just want to, in conjunction with the five-star program, which we passed on March 8th, they did make mention possibly five-star not being part of the COVID 3.0, which was totally opposite what they informed us the week before. So we'll see what happens. We'll play it by ear. But on March 8th, we did pass that. I believe there was some confusion whether the city had to confirm as well, which they did not. That was already in the city manager's hands, and they moved forward immediately. So the application was pushed through the committee and Ms. Crossan, and that is at the state level now. And we're moving forward with it. On March 10th, I had a meeting with the Southern Colorado Economic Development Board of Directors. Ms. Amato was able to attend with me for most of the meeting. It was quite lengthy, a little over 2 hours. A lot of discussion on topics that are funding mechanisms to keep SCED viable. There was a lot of hesitant from other commissioners that were joining now, knowing the situation that SCED has had some turbulent times over the years, and now they're moving forward. So it was a good conversation. We did discuss the Allegiance coal mine and possibly utilizing SCED and possible assisting with grants for the rail spur. The conversation also was discussed that they have to have two entities regarding those types of grants, instead of just for a for business one, but the mention of a private tourist train to possibly utilize that rail spur was very well accepted, and possibilities are moving forward with that as well. On March 11th, I had a Tura board meeting. Tura has two open seats, so we're looking for any members, people that want to apply. Please contact the City of Trinidad and see if you're interested in becoming a board member of Urban Renewal. There is some momentum going with one of the projects that we have. It's just getting started, but we do have some interest in some of the one or more of the properties that Tura has listed. So that is good news to hear. We'll hear more about it with a special meeting possibly next week or even this week. Yesterday, I was on the OPI call, and OPI is doing well. They have lots of money to lend out. We have a lot of interest in Los Angeles County, most they've seen in many, many years, and also Otero County. So there's a lot of businesses that are applying. However, some of the businesses are applying are having some difficulty with the application process. And it's not so much the application itself, it's just getting the proper paperwork in. This is why most people come to a secondary lender, because the traditional lending is kind of tough for them to get through the paperwork. So the Southern Colorado Business Association is gonna try to assist in some of that paperwork for them, possibly. I can't remember the acronym of the other organization, so forgive me. And then I also spoke with Senator Cleve Simpson, and he is co-sponsoring a bill with Senator Larry Garcia on funding for state parks. I believe it's 21-1112. Don't quote me on that, but I think that's it. For up to $20 million for Colorado state parks, $3 million was, according to Senator Simpson, will be allocated for Fisher's Peak. So since we didn't get all that funding last year that we fought for with all of our attempts with the three commissioners testifying up in Denver and trying to get that funding, we were able to get that little bit of funding to get the park started. But it looks like now we'll be moving forward, hopefully. And it does have bipartisan support. So it looks very positive for that bill to get passed through. And that's all I have for me. So thank you. We'll move right on to public comment. Do we have anybody signed up, Mr. Dornkamp, or anybody on the call that would wish to do public comment? If you do, 3 minutes, please. Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to presentations with XL Energy Representative Ashley Valdez. Good morning, Ms. Valdez.
Good morning, commissioners. How are you? It's great to see you today. I don't really have a formal presentation to start with today, but just basically wanted to introduce myself to you. I am with XL Energy. I've been with XL for the past 6 years. I am the area manager of community and local government affairs, and my area of concern and responsibility is Southern Colorado. I office out of Pueblo, and I am responsible for also the San Luis Valley up into Chaffee County with Salida. And then I also manage community and local government affairs for two of our wind projects that are way out east in the Lyman, Cheyenne, and Kit Carson areas as well. And I will tell you, before I started with XL Energy, I was with San Isabel Electric Association. It was during that time that I met Commissioner Felix Lopez, and we worked together when Trinidad State was instituting a lineman's program. So it's good to see you again, Commissioner. I hope your family is doing well. Every year, Xcel Energy is required to file what is known as an electric resource plan. Every 4 years, we're required to file the electric resource plan with the Colorado Public Utilities Commission. We filed back in 2018 for consideration, and we are filing another one at the end of March, March 31st. And what this plan allows us to do when we file these plans, we look at areas where we foresee growth coming with our customer base. And then we also look at our resources and what we use to bring energy to the marketplace that we serve. In 2018, we were approved by the PUC to add numerous renewable energy projects to our service area. And as with, you know, Colorado, sometimes you can build where you have customers and serve, and other times you have to build where the energy resources are, such as Los Animas, for example, or Pueblo County, Huerfano County, and some of the strongest renewable energy resources are in the southern end of the state. So when we file this electric resource plan with the Colorado PUC on March 31st, we are asking the Colorado PUC to approve the addition of another 5,500 megawatts of solar, wind, and natural gas resources. Xcel Energy has a couple of goals. The overarching goal is to be carbon free in our electricity offering by 2050. And then the intermediate goal is to be carbon free by 2030, and or not carbon free, sorry, 80% carbon free by 2030. And we believe with this resource filing that we will be doing, we will be meeting that and on a really good road to get to the carbon-free 100% by 2050. So that's the purpose of the filing. And as you can imagine, in order to build those types of resources, you have to have transmission to be able to move those resources. And I believe you all received on March 2nd, a letter from our Colorado Division of Siting and Land Rights with Xcel Energy that was discussing this transmission plan that we have going forward. We did file the CPCN with the Colorado Public Utilities Commission on the first week of March. And so what my purpose is today is to reach out to some of the counties that we don't necessarily provide service to, but to be able to start having relationships with you in the areas where we foresee that we could be looking to possibly do a project in the future. So that's the purpose of today. Just wanted to say hello, introduce myself, and I know we'll have much more detailed meetings in the future should those projects come to fruition and as we're looking at those going forward. So with that, I would open it up to any questions that you might have.
Thank you, Ms. Valdez. Commissioners.
Mm-hmm. Yes, good morning. Ashley, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Looking back at when we put out the Line Tech program at Trinidad State, what an amazing opportunity to partner with San Isabel of those days. A couple of questions for you. One is, if there was enough renewable energy in Los Animas County, which we know there is wind, also, as you know, there is great potential for geothermal energy extraction. We are sitting in one of the hottest geothermal beds anywhere in the Western Hemisphere. What type of agreement would it take for someone if there was the opportunity to put a power plant in Los Animas County, either from wind, solar, or geothermal, or a combination of all, to transport that energy up north? Is there an opportunity, I mean, capacity on the existing transmissions to basically, in a sense, export that energy from Los Animas County to perhaps even other states or other counties within Colorado? And then I have another question, but go ahead.
Okay, to answer the first one, currently the transmission lines that are out and about, I wouldn't say they're at capacity, but looking at what we want to build, we need to build more, which is why the CPCN was filed with PUC for the Colorado Power Pathway Project. I should have mentioned that within that transmission project, we are looking to partner with some other utilities in the state. We have Colorado Springs Utilities, possibly Tri-State, Black Hills Energy, and the Platte River Power Authority. So with those entities, we're looking to partner, and I understand that cooperatives such as San Isabel Electric, I know in working with Reg Rudolph that there is great interest in bringing more renewables into the area where you all are. And we hope that this would bring about an opportunity for that. As for a power plant, that's not anything that I could speak directly to, but I could certainly do some, you know, background research and see what that would be. I would imagine with our certificated areas that we would have to work through the Colorado PUC. And then of course, with our partners, we're in a working with Tri-State right now on this particular plan. So I imagine that they would also be in that conversation, but I'd be happy to see what I can find out and provide you with more information.
Well, and I'm thinking out loud, perhaps the opportunity might come up where we might be a good candidate as a county to extract that geothermal energy and then turn that into electricity. But the second part of my question, Colorado right now is going through tremendous legislative proceedings as far as the disposal of some of the batteries that are actually required to be had when you're producing green energy. And the regulations around this, the disposal and the storage of these batteries has created a ton of controversial discussions. And I know that the Colorado legislature is really looking for renewable energy, but we don't know how to dispose at this point in time. I don't believe that that exists, how to dispose of all the wind towers, the batteries in a safe manner without contaminating the footprint of waterways, watersheds, and so on. What is the research that Xcel Energy has done basically to assure that, in fact, if we went this way, that the disposal and or storage of these ancillary services would be basically done in a safe manner? And I know you have all the requirements from the feds, from the state that you have to meet, but is with all of that, do you see the cost of energy passed on to the consumer?
Well, in regards to disposal of, you know, when wind farms are decommissioned and that, it's funny that you should ask that. That is a topic that we're hearing more about. I just received an email this morning from my supervisor, Holly Velasquez Horvath, asking if I can do some research into that. So I will be doing that, and we'll put you down to be able to provide some more information about that. I do know that the companies that we work with, for example, in Pueblo, we are embarking on building a couple of large solar farms, 550 megawatts, and along with that is battery storage. And we're doing those projects with NextEra Energy. They are one of the leading solar developers and have quite a bit of experience in working with the batteries. So I'd be happy to get some information from them as to, you know, how to safely dispose that. I can tell you that when we look to decommission any of these, we do have a responsibility and obligation that we take quite seriously to restore the land. And one of Xcel Energy's priorities, of course, is being safe environmentally. So that is a key consideration when we go about doing that work. So I will be happy to look into that and provide you some information. Thank does you, that Ms. answer yes. your question, sir?
Yes, it does. Thank you so much. And if I may, Mr. Chair, one more just tidbit of a footnote. As you go forward, Ms. Valdez, doing your research, we saw what happened in Texas with the reliability, with the winter storm that just went through there. What are the plans of the co-ops and or energy providers, brokers, distributors to actually assure that the consumer does have reliable energy at a point such as that one that Texas went through.
Okay, I was frozen just for a second. I did hear your question. You know, every state is set up a little bit differently in how regulated utilities work. Texas is quite a different animal in how they operate. Colorado is different. We're governed under the Colorado Public Utilities Commission. So there's a lot more involved with that. In regards to the situation that happened in Texas, how would that compare, say, with renewable energies here in Colorado? You know, every state that goes into it, and even in regions within states, we look at what would be conducive to the area. So there are different type of wind turbines, depending on what the need is and what the, you know, the climate is, what the landscape is, how all of that works. Colorado is much different than Texas. I would say that they were not, you know, when they build their wind farms and that there, they look at the economies of it. And to have this 100-year storm that came in, you know, you wouldn't necessarily buy all of your equipment that's going to be geared up for winters like we would here in Colorado with heating packages and such that we have with our wind turbines. So it's a little apples and oranges. And I will say that when we go to market, when we look at it, we look at the areas where we're building to make sure it's conducive and that the equipment that we use is fashioned to be able to meet those challenges of that climate in that particular area. Did that answer your question?
Yes, thank you, Ms. Valdez. Great to see you. Have a great day.
And great to see you. Thank you, sir.
Yes. Mr. Hess.
No questions from me. I believe Felix covered the gamut.
I agree. Thank you, Ms. Valdez, for coming on today and introducing yourself to Los Angeles County and our residents and our folks here on the meeting today. And look forward to visiting with you in the future and getting some of those questions answered that Commissioner Lopez posed to you. That'd be great feedback if you could reach out to Commissioner Lopez and he could pass that on to the board. So thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Looking forward to working with you all. Thank you, commissioners.
Thank you. Okay, everybody. Moving on is item B, CSU Extension Agent Lori Arnold. In conjunction with the report Commissioner Lopez gave out, I knew she was going to be on the call, and I asked her if she would kindly give us the update today. So good morning, and Ms. Arnold, the floor is yours.
Sorry, I lost internet connection, so I had to rush to another office. So good morning. I know that Commissioner Hass and Commissioner Lopez were on that webinar. What I'm going to give you is just a brief report on what the webinar was about. It was about the state of the fair industry, and it's a webinar series. And basically what it was providing an update for the outlook for the 2021 fair season. And they had a couple of speakers. The first speaker was Ann Haas, and she is from the Office of Legal and Regulatory Compliance. And she gave us a report on the public health order and the framework for the new Dial 3.0. And then they had another speaker, and her name was Marla Calico, and she is the president of the International Fairs and Shows. And basically she just gave a report on how other states handled last year and how they're moving forward for 2021 as far as state fairs and county fairs. And she also provided several resources for people to utilize when they go to planning this year's fair season. And then I thought I would give you a little update on our little fair here, the Los Angeles County Fair. It's scheduled July 26th through the 31st. And right now we're moving forward with the 4-H portion and the livestock portion. As far as the community events, we're working with the Los Angeles County Health Department. Right now we're in contact with them. Unfortunately, it's too early to tell what we're going to be able to do So the community events portion of the fair is kind of put on hold until we get closer, until we know what's going to be opened up and what we can do in Los Animas County. I don't know, do you guys have anything else to add?
No, Ms. Arnold, I don't, but I want to thank you for the update. And I just want to refresh everyone's memory from last year's county fair that it was, despite being in the pandemic, you guys did an excellent job, you and Ms. Peters and all of our 4-H leaders in Los Angeles County, in getting that present or that event put out to the public and for our youth and our children. And it was a huge success. And I look forward to it again this year. My kids are looking forward to it as well.
And hopefully everything will open up a little bit more and we'll be able to do a few more things. Honestly, I never thought we would have to go through that again this year, but I think we're better equipped to handle ourselves this year. So hopefully it will be open and we can do more activities. That's the hope.
And I believe, Loria, that as the Dial 3.0 will be unveiled hopefully this week or very soon, it'll provide the outdoor capacity, which is one of the things that the majority of the counties are asking the governor, basically for outdoor events. Let us work locally so we can manage our own fairs and that kind of thing, because again, one size doesn't fit all, and that has been the voice of all the rural communities and all the rural counties, and that's going to be one of the messages that we'll deliver on Friday as well, to consider the outdoor activities. And apparently, and I didn't know this, but yesterday we had a CCI board meeting getting ready for the phone call with the governor on Friday. And there was a statement that somebody made, and we'll confirm that the outdoor capacity could actually increase significantly. So we'll keep our eyes on that.
Good, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Arnold. And thank you, Ms. Coberly, for allowing her to use your computer there. All right, everybody. Okay, moving on, elected officials update. Do we have Sheriff Navarrete on the call this morning? Okay. Ms. Amato from the assessor's office.
Good morning, gentlemen. Are you able to hear me?
Yes, we can, Jody.
Good morning. Thank you. At this time, we are rolling forward with our reval. We're just moving ahead. Mr. Dorenkamp will inform you of a meeting that the treasurer and I had with Cougar Canyon. And other than that, we're just business as usual.
Thank you, Ms. Amato.
Thank you.
Anyone from our clerk and recorder's office on? Mr. Mestis, Ms. Vigil. Okay, anybody from our treasurer's office? Donna Leonetti, are you on the call this morning?
Yes, I am. I have nothing to report at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Leonetti. Unfinished business, we have none. So item 8, new business, discussion and consideration of IFB 21-R003 dust control product supply and application. Mr. Dorenkamp.
Commissioners, before you are the results of our IFB 21-R003 dust control product supply and application with the following results. Biotech Services for their Road Saver, $1.01 per gallon. For their DuraBlend, $1.25 per gallon. GMCO, their Integra Blend, 93 cents a gallon. And their Integra Blend M, I should have said Blend 8020 on the first one from GMCO. And their Integra Blend M, 87 cents a gallon. We had $146,000 budgeted for this application. And with the Department of Local Affairs no longer allowing us to submit EIF grants for road base surfaces, we decided to expand this project from last year and the prior year to include roads that we have recently put road base on. That's why this project's quite a bit bigger than it has been in the past. But it asks the board to approve GMCO's Intricate Blend M bid, 87 cents a gallon, standard price $127,237.50.
Any questions from the board, please?
Yes, Bill. So what's the difference between the DuraBlend and the Intrigrid Blend?
Chemical compositions, Commissioner. We've never used the DuraBlend. I'm sorry?
Better sealing qualities or?
Depends on who you ask, frankly. Some of these products have what they call tree sap in them from logging companies, and there's just a variety of different chemicals they can put in these dust control products. And actually, EnviroTech a few years back had offered to come down and apply some of their DuraBlend so we could compare apples to apples, but that fell through. They decided they wouldn't come down and do that after all. So I haven't ever used a DuraBlend product or the Road Saver from EnviroTech. But speaking with—
I was just curious.
Speaking with my peers, most of them said the GMCO products are as good as any.
I was reading up on some of this and it was interesting to see that they're using sugar blends now to seal these roads. And I was just curious if any of this had any of the sugars. I guess the tree sap would qualify for that.
Commissioner Lopez, any questions?
One small question. And basically, Mr. Dorenkamp, are there, since this is a new product, kind of following up on Commissioner Tony Hassan's question is, are there any warranties as far as the longevity of this product on the roads?
No.
Okay.
No, they're a product that our crews help work the material in, or they help work the product into our road bases. And depending on traffic and weather is how long you can assume that these products are going to last on a road surface. As an example, County Road 42, that last year was our second year of applying it on there. 42 is the road that goes from the interstate east towards Honey. I think yesterday was the first time we've worked that road since last September, when we shot an application at half the original application rate. And it did get fairly rough, that road, but the maintenance goes way down. But no, there is no warranty on any of these products.
And you can't imagine how many compliments I get, Mr. Dorenkamp, from that application on 42 out in the Honey area. It really keeps the dust down. And the road was actually in pretty decent shape for not having to work it. So it has saved a lot of money on maintenance costs. One question I have is, where are we looking to apply this new round to?
We're going to apply 42 and County Road 40. Those are two roads that we've been trying to apply on for the last two seasons. And then we're looking at Baldy Canyon and which is 69-8, I believe. And the other canyon next to it, and I'm drawing a blank, and then putting some out on what we call Gurman Hill. So we've got, Old Sopris Road too. We're gonna be applying it on Old Sopris. So four additional roads to the two that we've typically applied on.
Thank you. There are no other questions from Mr. Dorenkamp. We entertain a motion at this time, please.
And Phil, could you tell me again, was it Intrigrid Blend M for $127,000?
Yes, Commissioner.
I'll make that motion for, I got to pull it up again. Sorry, guys. for the consideration of IFB21-R003 Dust Control Product Supply and Application, go to GMCO Corporation, Intergrid Blend M at 87 cents,
$127,237.50. I second that motion.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. And before we go to item B, this is to have to do with our planning commission. I would like to ask for a moment of silence for one of our long members of the planning commission. She had recently passed away, Ms. Paula Ozell. So if we can have a moment of silence, please. Thank you. Item B, consideration of two appointments to Los Angeles County Planning Commission. Mr. Dornkamp.
Commissioners, before you are two letters of interest to fill two positions on the Planning Commission board. And with that, let's see, one of them is from Karen Solopich, and the other one is from Tom Verker. Executive Assistant Paula Lucero had solicited letters of interest from any other members in the community. And Ms. Lucero, please chime in here, but I believe those were the only two that you received.
Yes, that's correct. The only two received.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any questions or concerns from the board at this time?
And these are reappointments, correct?
Yes, they are continuing members.
That's correct.
Ms. Lucero, one quick question is, what methods of marketing and advertising for these positions were used?
I submitted it to the Chronicle and it ran one day for 3 weeks.
Wonderful, thank you.
It was three times.
Very good.
Any other questions at this time? I entertain a motion.
Make a motion to fill the two vacant seats, the appointment to the Los Angeles County Planning Commission. And go back to my document here, Mr. Tom Verker and Ms. Karen Solopich.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item C, consideration of five-star budget. Mr. Dornkamp.
Commissioners, before you is amended five-star budget. The board approved the five-star budget. I believe it was this past Friday. But after the, it was a week ago yesterday. But after the five-star committee met on last Tuesday afternoon, they added in an administrative cost $5,000 of in-kind. So that's the board to consider this amended five-star budget.
Thank you, Mr. Dornkamp. Do we have any questions from the board at this time?
No, I just want to thank you, Chair. I want to give a big shout out to all the committee members. They did a tremendous amount of work on that. And so thank you so much from our chamber representative, Ms. Crossan, to County's representative, Ms. Chavez, everyone, Ms. Corberly, everyone that was involved in this particular project, Mayor, and all of you that made this project come to light. I want to say sincere thanks to all of you.
I concur. Thank you, Commissioner. We have no other questions or comments. Entertain a motion, please.
I move to accept the five-star budget.
Second.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item D, consideration of OBCC number 6956, Grange Swant, for $228.58. Do we have anybody from the clerk's office on? Okay. I've reviewed this. I think it's just pretty standard procedure. According to the information they gave us, this was a mistake and is to be a refund. Do we have any other questions or comments from the board? Or do you wish to wait until you have consulted with the clerk's office on this issue? If not, we've done these before, we can move forward.
I believe we have enough information here, Chairman.
Okay, then we entertain a motion at this time, please.
Make a motion to approve OBCC number 6956 to Doreen Schwanth for $228.58.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item E, consideration of OBCC number 6957 to Mia Gerardo for $45.40. Same scenario here, gentlemen. Entertain a motion, please.
Motion to approve OBCC 6957 to Mia Eduardo for $45.40.
Second that motion.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item F, consideration of IFB 2021-F01 unleaded fuel bid, Mr. Dorenkamp.
Commissioner, before you are the bid results for IFB 2021-F01 for the delivery of 8,000 gallons of unleaded fuel to our fairgrounds facility with the following results. Acorn Petroleum, $2.2610 per gallon. Extended price, $2.26106 per gallon. Extended price, $18,088.48. World Fuel Services, $2.125 per gallon. Extended price, $17,000. Lahana Valley, no bid. Wallace Oil, no bid. I'd ask the board to approve World Fuel Services bid of $2.12 per gallon. Extended price, $17,000.
Any questions or concerns from the board at this time? Entertain a motion, please.
Make a motion to approve IFB 2021-F01 and unleaded fuel bid to World Services bid.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item G, consideration of Unwin Gravel Pit M1998011, annual report and fee, Mr. Dorenkamp.
Commissioner, before you is our annual submission for annual submission to the Colorado Division of Reclamation, Mining, and Safety for our Unwin pit. We do this annually on all of our gravel pits, and this is just a standard submission. The fee due is $323 because the Unwin pit is what is termed as a 110 permit, means it's less than 10 acres. Some of our pits are around, the fees are around $700 and some, and those are for pits that are 112, which are pits that are above that 10 acre threshold. So I'd ask the board to approve this report and fee that we'll submit to the state.
Thank you. Do we have any questions from the board at this time? Entertain a motion then, please.
Move for the approval of the Unwin Gravel Pit M1998011 annual report and fee.
Second.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Financial matters, considerations of bills and payroll for the first half of March 2021. Mrs. Coberly.
Payroll as of March 15th is $172,788.48. Bills paid on March 3rd, $116,836.04. Bills paid on March 10th, $158,226.28.
We have any questions from the board for Mrs. Corbelly? Entertain a motion at this time, please. I'm sorry, Commissioner.
No, the only question I know the, I believe is the $50,000 that was to Tyler Technologies, Ms. Coverly. This is to the, let me see 1 second. I lost my place here and I have a note. Tyler Technologies, $50,000 to, I believe it's the assessor's office. Yes, it is. That is a regular that we see on a yearly basis. Am I correct?
That should be her annual maintenance, probably, yes. Or her annual maintenance fee for the year, because we each department has an annual maintenance.
Okay, yeah, it's computerless contract, software maintenance. Correct.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. That was my only question.
Sure, you're welcome.
Okay, if there are no more questions, we'll entertain a motion at this time, please.
Make a motion to approve the bills and payroll for the first half of March 2021.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. And at this time, instead of going into our executive session, we need to go into suspend this board meeting, and then we will be able to go into our Department of Human Services meeting. So at this time, I'll entertain a motion to suspend.
I would move to suspend.
Second.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess? Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes, and everybody will take a 5 minute recess to let Mr. Bernalino and his staff get together, and we'll be back in 5 more minutes, 10 o'clock. Thank you.
When Phil gets back, I'll jump on my other computer and get off of this little bitty one. I got my tablet. That's what I've been operating on.
I usually get my tablet and the laptop when I'm running too.
Okay, that's better. Yay, finally woke this old computer up.
Yeah, mine's starting to have problems too with the flat screen and expanding it, and you touch it and then it goes haywire for 10 minutes. So be getting a hold of our technician here shortly. Okay, it is 10 o'clock. Mr. Dornkamp, are you back?
I am back, sir.
Mr. Bernalino, are you ready, sir?
Yes, I am.
We got two of you on here, Mr. Bernalino.
Let me get one of these works. Sometimes the other one doesn't. Hold on.
You might want to mute one of them. So.
Yeah.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. It is Tuesday, March 16th. It is 10 a.m. We'll call the Los Angeles County Board of County Commissioners acting in the capacity of the Board of Human Services meeting to order at this time. Commissioner Haas, would you please lead us in an invocation this morning?
Heavenly Father, we pray that you will direct each and every one of our steps, allowing us to be influenced by your spirit and your grace. May all your steps glorify you. Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Commissioner Lopez, would you please lead us in the pledge?
Yes, sir. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Here.
Commissioner Haas?
Here.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
I am here. Do we have any changes to the agenda this morning, Mr. Bernalino?
No, we do not.
Entertain a motion at this time, please.
Motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Haas?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item two, consideration of minutes. Regular meeting minutes, February 16th of 2021. We've all had them in front of us and chance to review them. Do we have any questions or concerns? Entertain a motion.
I move to approve the regular meeting minutes from February 16, 2021.
Second motion.
Commissioner Haas?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Under director's report, I know Mr. Aragon is not here today. Mr. Bernalino, do you have something for the board this morning? Okay, and you might want to mute. There you go. That way that echo stopped. Okay, thank you. So item four, new business, consideration of caseload counts and activity by program. Adult services, ASP, SEP. Mr. Bernalino.
Yes, Ms. Ringo should be available and ready to go on that. Laurie, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning, all. I am happy to go ahead and give the case counts for Adult Protective Services. In the month of February, we had 25 active APS cases. We also received 9 adult protection referrals. As far as single entry point, we had 248 HCBS CBD cases, 179 HCBS CBD CDAS cases, 27 HCBS EBD with long-term home health cases, for a total of 454. We had 17 HCBS CMHS cases. We had 6 HCBS CMHS CDAS cases. We had 3 HCBS CMHS long-term home health cases for a subtotal of 26. We had 6 only of the long-term home health cases for a total client count of 486. We received 5 completed 5 initial HCBS approvals. We completed 5 nursing facility approvals. We had 3 HCBS denials for a total of 13 actions. Do you have any questions?
I don't see any for you, Ms. Ringo.
Okay, thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Berlino.
Next, we have Ms. Eklund with the 4D activity report. Valerie, go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We have 277 4A cases. 102 of those are current and 175 are arrears only. We have 634 non-4A cases with 93 of those current, bringing our total case count to 1,004 cases. Our collections for the month in TANF, $12,440.70. The non-TANF, $77,226.76, bringing our total collections to $89,667.46. Our year-to-date TANF collections, $12,440.70. The non-4A, $77,226.76. Total year-to-date, $89,667.46. We had 9 new cases in the month of January, 156 locates. We established 4 new cases, all of them by administrative action. We didn't have any paternity. We completed 15 modifications and had 41 income withholdings. We still have 4 pending APA hearings and 13 modifications. Any questions?
Oh, you guys have been busy. That's a great number for locates. Good to see that that's occurring. So, and that means you're locating parents or
right,
folks that are obligated, right?
It would be both the custodial parties and the non-custodial parties to make sure that we know where the money is going. Yes.
That's a great number. Thank you.
Ms. Eklund, I would have just one question. The case for the month of February, is that still pending? I know all those stats that you gave us are listed on the month of January.
Yes.
Okay.
We just, this week, we just received our February figures. So we're always 1 month behind.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Eklund.
You're welcome.
Ms. Berlino.
All right, we have Ms. Kendall on the phone for the child welfare report. Go ahead, Michelle.
Good morning, commissioners. How are you guys?
Good morning.
So for the month of February, we had 30 referrals. We currently have 10 children in homes that we're working in locally. We have 18 children placed out of home. So that's a total of 28 children that we've served. 8 of those children that are in the department's custody are placed in Los Angeles County, and there are 10 that are placed out of Los Angeles County. So those are our numbers if anybody has any questions.
Thank you. It seems like it's gone down a couple. Placements for out of town, does that mean they've been united with their families, or what does that indicate?
So it could be that we returned them home. It also could be that we've located kinship and they're placed in the kin homes. And I'm not sure if I had mentioned this last week, and Ms. Nelson could probably explain a little bit better than I can as far as the legal component of it, but the state now is requiring us to place children. If we place them in a kinship home, we have to give them the relative custody within 90 days, or they have to be certified foster home. We're no longer able to do a non-certified kinship home.
Wow. So, Ms. Kendall, what type of challenges is that going to bring about as far as the prompt placement of a child?
Well, I think initially it's not too much of a concern because we're able to locate the kin and place with kin right away. The issue is if the kin is not wanting to be certified, which when they're certified, they have to follow the strict rules as far as the home situation. They have to meet all the state requirements. And unfortunately, we don't have a lot of kin that could pass the background checks that are required for a certified home. So on the flip side of that, we have to offer parent the kinship family custody of the children, which sometimes the court isn't in favor of that initially. So there is a training that's coming up here in the next couple weeks that I have provided to Ms. Nelson and to Mr. Aragon, that hopefully we'll have a better understanding moving forward how we need to approach the situation.
Thank you.
I just have one more question. Is when can we get some ice cream? I believe you have an ice cream shop that reopened.
Yes. The Trinidad Creamery opened up about a week and a half ago. So we are fully up and ready to go. Our hours are 7 days a week, from 12 o'clock to 8 o'clock at night. So come down, and we have hired some really great folks. Some of them have returned back from the previous season, but we're all up and ready to go.
Best of luck.
Thank you, guys. Also, thank you for the grant money that you guys offered. That was a huge help to the creamery to be able to get everybody up and going. So appreciate that.
Thank you.
Okay. Thought I'd shake it up a little bit. Mr. Bernalino.
Okay, let's go with Ms. Garrison for the eligibility unit report. Go ahead, Teresa.
Actually, I'm on my way to the creamery to go get ice cream. Mr. Lopez started it. Okay, so good morning, commissioners.
Good morning.
NDSSICS, Aid to the Needy Disabled Social Security Income Colorado Supplement. We have two. NDSSICS-HCA Home Care Allowances, none. NDSSICS Personal Needs Assistance, one. Basic Cash Assistance, Colorado Works, 107. BCCP Breast and Cervical Cancer Program, one. Burial, six. Buy-in WAD, Working Adults with Disabilities, one. CHP Plus, Children Health Plus, Plan Plus, 60, CHP Plus Newborn, Child Health Plan Plus, 3, CHP Plus Prenatal, 1, DAC, Disabled Adult Children, 14, Eligible Needy Newborn, 92, Food Stamps, 2,035, Former Foster Care, 2, HCBS Brain Injury, 1, HCBS CES Children's Extensive Support, 9. HCBS CHCBS Children's Home and Community-Based Services, 3. HCBS CMHS Community Mental Health Supports, 28. HCBS DD Developmental Disabilities, 27. HCBS EBD Elderly, Blind, and Disabled, 327. HCBS SLS Supported Living Services, 28. LIS Low Income Subsidy Medicare Savings Program 31, MAGI Adult Modified Adjusted Gross Income 2053, MAGI Children Modified Adjusted Gross Income 1002, MAGI Parent Caretaker Modified Adjusted Gross Income 449, MAGI Pregnant Modified Adjusted Gross Income 48, Nursing Facility Hospital 300% Institutionalized 76, OAPA Old Age Pension Medicaid 113, OAPA HCA 1, OAP HCPA Old Age Pension Healthcare Program Not Medicaid 0, OAPA PNA Old Age Pension Personal Needs Allowance 3, OAPB Old Age Pension Medicaid 27, OAPB PNA Old Age Pension Personal Needs Assistance 1, OAPA Med A Old Age Pension Medicare 41, OAPB Med B 4, PACE Program of All Inclusive Care for the Elderly 0, QI 1 Qualified Individual MSP 48, QMB Qualified Medicare Benefit MSP 579, SLIMB Specified Low Income Medicare Beneficiary MSP 138, SSI Mandatory 380, SSI HCA Home Care Allowance 1, State A&D Aid to the Needy Disabled 42, Transitional Food Stamps 10, Transitional Medicaid 196, for a total of 7,991, an increase of 198. Any questions?
No questions from me.
No, I don't have any, Teresa. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Let me get back up top here. All right. If we have no other questions for the staff here, we entertain a motion at this time.
I would move to approve the caseload counts and activity by program.
Second.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes, and Teresa, there is a freezer downstairs where you can leave my ice cream. I'll be in the office here shortly. I appreciate it. All right, item B, consideration of DHS fraud policy and procedures. Mr. Bernalino.
Yes, commissioners, the policy that Michael has put together, the state requires that all county departments have a fraud prevention policy and manual. Michael has included all the elements in this policy that the state requires for purpose, as you can see, standing through it. Definitions, risk assessment strategies, monitoring, and methods of reporting external controls. And at the back, we have a form that can be utilized by anyone to report any suspected fraud or wrongdoing on any of our programs.
Okay, and this is state required, correct?
Yes, yeah, they require that all counties have that in place.
Have we had one prior to this? I believe we probably did.
Yes, we did, probably some time ago. Uh-huh.
Okay.
This one's a little more formal than what the state, what the state required before.
Right, right. Ms. Nelson, do you have any concerns or with this information we have before us?
No, Commissioner. I've reviewed the policy and I have no concerns with it.
Any questions from the board?
Mr. Bertolino, the only question I would have is, and I would imagine, Council, this would be pretty much in alignment with any other policy that other county agencies are using throughout the state?
Yes, it's pretty similar. They actually gave us a template to follow, and then we could add additional information or things that we wanted in there besides what the state requires.
And then my last and Are you going to be holding any in-house trainings for all staff to go over this particular document?
Yes, as soon as Michael gets back, he is planning on doing something like that, yes.
Thank you.
Okay, if there's no more questions, we entertain a motion, please.
Motion to approve the DHS fraud policy and procedures.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. And financial reports, consideration of financials as of December 31st, 2020. Ms. Brule, correct? Is that who?
Yes. Doing this? Yeah, Jolynn.
Good morning, Jolynn.
So for December 2020, our expense was $1,015,089.73. Our revenue was $949,088.76. The county share was $730,164.77. And then for January, we had an expense of $1,054,643, a revenue of $120,679.75. And then for our financials for January, they are $177,432.02. And February, $179,687.56.
Have any questions or concerns for Ms. Grillet at this time? Entertain a motion, please.
Motion to approve the financials as of December 31st, 2020.
Second.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes, and item B, consideration of financials as of January 31st, 2021. Ms. Grillet. I think you're muted.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There you are. Go ahead.
That's all I have.
Oh, you don't have the January 31st, or did you give that to us just now? You did, right?
I give that to you, yes.
Okay, yeah, I thought so. I apologize. It's just listed as two different line items on our thing. So my mistake. Good job, Ms. Grillet. Sound like you've been doing this for many, many years.
And Ms. Grillet and Chair, if I may, just one quick comment. When you do your report to the Board of County Commissioners, just one small recommendation is to guide the board. I'm on page A. You know, if you can, as you're going through your report, give us the page number that you're on so we can follow you a little more succinctly. I really would appreciate that.
Okay, I'll do that next
time. Okay, so item six, consideration of payroll for January 2021. And we'll do those separately and then we'll do February after that. So Ms. Grillet.
And the payroll for February is $179,687.56.
Any questions from the board for January's payroll? Entertain a motion, please.
Motion to approve the January payroll 2021.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item B, consideration of payroll for February 2021. Ms. Grillet.
OK, it's $179,687.56.
Excuse me, I'm kind of confused on that because she's given that number three different times. This is the third time I'm getting that amount. So, Jolynn, can you tell me what page you're on with that?
Wow.
All of the report for February is on page 80. I don't know that Jolynn has the entire packet.
Okay, thank you.
And the report for January payroll is on page, I think Michael just gave her the figures to read. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jolynn, but the January totals for payroll are on page 67. And they're similar amounts. Because everybody's salary.
Yeah, it's just that I was writing down, taking minutes, and it's the same exact amount I was writing for the third time. So I thought maybe something was wrong.
Got cut off reporting the January because all I heard was the February piece.
Okay, thank you.
So the way I'm reading it, the February was 179,687.56. What I have in my packet. And I think that's what she reported out on that for February. Does that help, Paula, your concerns?
I'll go through the packet and get the numbers. I was writing as she was speaking, so it just kind of jumped out at me, but I'll search it in the packet. Thank you.
And the January ones, the way I'm reading them here, were 177,432. So she might have missed the page there and just went straight to February. So we can amend that right now. Read this here. We can amend the January amount that was reported to a 177,432.02. So I guess you did catch that, Paula. It was said twice. So I think Ms. Gurley might have had the wrong figures in front of her. And we'll just amend that motion. How do we go back and do that? Since we've already voted on that, I guess we'd have to suspend that or go back and nullify for January's motion, and then we can do a new motion with the new numbers. Is that how we should move forward? Just for the record, Mr. Dorenkamp.
Yeah, Commissioner and Attorney Nelson, please chime in here. I think that would be appropriate.
You could do it in two separate motions, or you could have one motion that would rescind the first motion and then make the second motion.
Okay.
And as far as confirmation, Chairman, from the numbers, I believe Ms. Gourlay is still online, just to confirm that, in fact, that we have the right figures. I do not have the complete report. The report I'm looking at right now, that's why I was asking the question, you know, what page was she on? Because the numbers, as Ms. Lucero alluded to, I will repeat it three times. And so if Ms. Gourlay would come back and clarify the amount for January, the amount for February, then I think we'll rescind the motion at the beginning and we can approve both with the second motion.
Okay, Ms. Gourlay, do you have the packet with you? The way I'm reading it, it is page 67 for January's final numbers.
And Commissioner Lopez, if you've got your packet opened in Adobe, and if you've got the same number of sheets that I do.
Yes.
About the third row down, where on the left-hand side, there is a save icon. If you go over to about the middle of that page, it'll show what page you're on as of.
Yes.
Versus, if you look on page 67 of that.
Okay.
I believe it's highlighted in yellow for least I'm interpreting that as January's payroll, because at the top of that page, it's got the date range from January 1 through January 31 of 2021. It's titled Detail versus Budget Report, but I assume that's
yes, payroll. Yes, I'm right there. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, so now you able to see that, Commissioner Lopez?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so then since we have that, we can go ahead and move forward with the motion at this time. So go ahead, Commissioner.
Yeah, let me make a motion to rescind the previous motion to approve the financials and make a new motion to approve. And the amount that we're going to be approving is $177,432.02.
For payroll, January.
For payroll, correct.
For financials or for payroll?
This is for payroll.
This is payroll, okay. Yeah.
Okay, I'll second that motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Okay, so now we go back to financials for February, which was on the table, and the report came in at the $179,687, which is the correct amount that I am seeing here on page 80. Let me double check here. Yeah, it's got a total activity of the fund summary. And the funding balance is $177,432, which is duplicate of January.
It's because they're all salaried employees. Okay. With the exception of one.
And Commissioner, the way I'm interpreting that in the columns, the one that's highlighted in yellow, at least on my in my packet, is the beginning balance. So I'm going to assume that's the end of January's totals, the $177,432.02. And then the next column to the right of it, which would be the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the sixth column from the very left, that is titled account. It has total activity. I'm going to assume that is what the activity was in February, since it's a February 1 through February 28th report of $179,687.56.
Yeah, so we're approving the $179,687.56, which is what Ms. Gourlay read.
Correct.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So that's what we have on the table before us for February payroll, and that seems to be correct. We have a motion at this time, please.
Move for the approval of payroll for February 2021 in the amount of $179,687.56.
I second the motion.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. And thank you, everybody, for indulging us in getting that straightened out for us. So thank you very much. Let me get back to my page. And at this time, that is all we have for this meeting. I thank everybody for being on the call. I entertain a motion to adjourn at this time, please.
I motion to adjourn.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes, and now we will need to move into back into our regular session for the Board of County Commissioners. We'll entertain a motion at that at this time to go back.
I'll move to reconvene the Board of County Commissioners meeting.
Second.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item 10, executive session. The board will meet under executive session under CRS 24-6-4024B, conferring with the county attorney for the purposes of receiving legal advice on specific legal questions. Item A, CPACE. Item B, personnel policy. Item C, COVID dial. Item D, grants 9310. Item E, Cougar Canyon. Do I hear a motion, please?
Make a motion to go into executive session.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Thank you, everybody, for being on the call today. Have a great day.
Thank you.